The book of Acts chapter 7, and we'll go to verse 54, Acts chapter 7, verse 54, and this is in the middle of the story of the first martyr of the church, Stephen, who was martyred, and it says in verse 54, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." And we know all about Saul. I'll talk about him just a little bit here tonight. But the Bible says there in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus on the right hand of God." Amen. I want to just preach what I felt for the last couple of weeks, actually. I thought I was going to be preaching this a couple of weeks ago, and this, that, and the other came up. And this morning I was studying, putting some notes together on this, and I got really excited about it. I hope I can express that excitement tonight. Amen. But I want to just preach, when you look steadfastly into heaven, you'll see Jesus. When you look steadfastly into heaven, you'll see Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the Word of God. We ask you to speak to each and every heart tonight. Touch the young people and prepare our hearts for service. And we give you thanks and praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Good to see all of you here in the house of the Lord tonight. I know you're glad to be here. Amen. Amen. The word steadfastly here in Acts chapter 7 means to behold earnestly, or to fasten one's eyes, or to look earnestly or steadfastly, to look steadfastly up, or to set the eyes. In other words, it is looking very intently into heaven. And there's a time that we're living in here today that there are many things that we can look to, many distractions in our generation today, and I suppose it's been in every generation. But the call of the church and the call to the early church is really our example tonight. It is our example of true Christianity. It is our example of the way that we should live. Amen. We glean our doctrine. We glean our lifestyle from the early apostles. They were the ones that were directly linked to Jesus. They were the ones that were in the mountain and saw him transfigured before their faces. They were the ones that saw the miracles. They were the ones that heard his teaching. They saw all of the things they recorded as they went along, the great things that were taking place in this man named Jesus. Amen. And they wrote down what they saw. They gave to us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, who was a physician. Amen. And he wrote down the book of Acts, what happened after the teachings of Jesus. And then the Pauline epistles and the general epistles that are written to Christians to show us how to live and what to do in our lives. Now, I want to just say tonight that really that's all we need. That's all we need tonight. We don't have to go to historical people. We don't have to go to historical references. But we've got to stay with the simplicity that is in Christ, and we must stay with the basic gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul's writing to this church in Galatia, and he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." And so Paul states that what we have comes directly from Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the apostles. The apostle John said, "We are of God. He that heareth us is of God. He that heareth not us is not of God. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. And so it is the simplicity of the Word of God. It is the simplicity that we find in Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel. Amen. And Paul tells us here that what we have has come directly from the Lord Jesus. And if anybody changes it, now listen to this tonight, if anybody changes it, then they are actually leaving Jesus Christ. We don't have the option to make up another gospel. We don't have the option to come up with some other idea that is not given to us in the Word of God. And it should make us tremble to understand that even in the days of the apostles, there was a perversion taking place in the Word of God. Amen. But Paul said, if an angel from heaven, amen, there's some that believe that. There are more than one religion has been started in our world in which an angel appeared and started the whole thing, and angels do appear, but that is not the standard by which we have truth tonight. Amen. Truth is not because an angel told us so. Truth is not in some near-death experience. Amen. Truth is not found in some sort of seance or some sort of act of witchcraft or something along those lines. Amen. It is not based upon what anybody says or what anybody has experienced. The gospel is based upon the simplicity of the Word of God. And it is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the simplicity of the gospel. We are buried with him, we die with him in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism, and we rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the life-changing experience that they were singing about tonight. Amen. Has anybody been changed? I remember the day God changed my life, and I'm striving to let him change me more and more by his Spirit. And actually, Paul brings it out in verse 6 and 7 of Galatians chapter 1, and he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And so he literally stated that if we leave the gospel, the basic gospel plan, amen. Now this is very powerful. It really is, because Peter preached the plan on the day of Pentecost. And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He did not tell them to accept the Lord as their personal Savior. Praise the Lord. He did not come up with any other idea or plan. It was very, very basic. It was very, very simple. But those that are very learned have a difficult time with simple things. Amen. And yet we need to keep it simple here tonight. The Apostle Peter understood this as well. And when we think of Peter tonight, we think of the man. He was probably the most outspoken and probably made reference to more than any of the other disciples, because he was either getting himself into trouble or he was doing something right, and the others were not following along with him. And Peter had this personality about him. And he understood what we're talking about here tonight because he was with the Lord in his earthly ministry. He saw the miracles. He was one of the three that went to the mountain and heard the voice of the Father that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He saw the light that was brighter than the noonday sun. They were eyewitnesses, amen, and yet through all of the experiences that they had with the Lord, amen, they understood that there was something more sure than the miracles, than the Mount of Transfiguration, than all of the things, the voices that they heard. And Peter wrote about it here. He wanted to give us a solid foundation to stand upon. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard." And so he's declaring that he was there when we were with him in the mount. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Everybody said a more sure word. More sure word. It's a little difficult to say that, but there is something more sure than the voice. There's something more sure than the Mount of Transfiguration and all of the things that they saw in the ministry of our Lord. Amen. He said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so what we have tonight is the Word of God. Thank God for His Word. If it were not for His Word, we would be wandering aimlessly. We would be like a ship without a sail. We would not be able to find our destination in eternity. Thank God for the unadulterated Word of God that we have. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And so we have a divine protection of the Word of God, and it has not changed, and it will not change. Amen. It is the only thing in this world that is solid and secure, and that is the Word of God. And it's just like the Lord to give us His Word, and it is a supernatural Word. It is so supernatural that it will confound the wise. Amen. But it is written, the King James Version of Scripture, and actually the Scripture itself, is written at a 12-year-old level. Amen. It's not written in high and heady words. Yes, there's some that we don't understand maybe because of our English translation. But a child can understand the Word of God. Amen. A child can understand the Godhead. There's only one God. There is only one God. Very, very simple. But it's too simple for those that are prideful and want to go into discourses and all sorts of heady and high-minded ways of speaking. Folks, we cannot get off of the simplicity that we find in the Word of God. And I know that we know the gospel tonight. I know we understand that basic truth tonight. I'm not trying to go over that again. But there is something that is very basic in our walk with God as well. And maybe the Lord's just speaking to my heart about this. But there is a need to look steadfastly into heaven. Praise God. There is a need to look steadfastly into heaven, because when we look into heaven, or we look toward heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we're going to see everything we need to see. Praise God. We're going to have everything that we need when we find Him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. I want to read down through verse 10 if you'll indulge me here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's a very powerful statement there tonight, that we must have a move of God if we are going to stay with the simplicity that is in Christ. And there's a reason for that, and it is because all of us depend upon something. All of us have a foundation in our life. In our spiritual life, we've got to have a foundation. And if our foundation is not a powerful move of God, the demonstration of the Spirit and power, and looking into heaven, seeing Jesus, getting our answers from Him, then there's only a few other things that we can go to for our foundation. Amen. We can go to, and men have done this, and the body of text that they have written is with us today. Amen. That they have written about their ideas about God. I'll tell you, I've done a little bit of study into the early fathers, and there's a volume of books, a huge volume of books, and you can go down to Kansas Newman College and you can read of those, and I've been down there and spent hours down there reading from some of those, and they believe some of the craziest things, some things that it's hard to even comprehend what they're talking about. There were men that had ideas all through history. Some believe that the earth was held up by an elephant. It was on the back of an elephant that was standing on the back of a turtle, and that's what holds the earth up. They came up with ideas in their mind, imaginations of things, and it must have reflected some need that they had. Some said that the earth was held up by a strong man whose name was Atlas, and he could hold the earth up in its place. It was just a figment of somebody's imagination. But if we simply go to the Word of God, amen, the Bible literally says that He hung the earth on nothing. Amen. It's out here in the middle of nothing. There's no rope holding it up. There's nothing that's holding it up. God hung it on nothing. Very simple, and all we got to do is get a hold of it and believe it. Well, somebody said amen. And let's go a little bit further. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes, or of leaders, or of people that come up with high and high-minded things, that come to naught." And so the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, the princes of this world are going to come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." I want to just say tonight that there's only one way for us to get the true knowledge that we need in our life, and that's to steadfastly look into heaven until we see Jesus. Well, praise God, because you're not going to get your answers anywhere but the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about the Bible here. There are times that we need answers in our life. There are times that we need help in our life. And only God can direct us and show us and give us the right answer. Amen. And the only way we're going to get him in our life. You know, the Lord is not impressed with high-minded teachings. The Lord is not impressed with man's wisdom. We just read that in the scripture. Amen. He is not impressed with all of the things that man can come up with. Amen. But he is impressed by someone that will look to him and call upon him. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Praise God. Folks, we got to be spiritual people, and we must be in the Spirit, and we must walk in the Spirit, and we must walk in the Holy Ghost. I know in our generation and in our time, there are so many distractions. Amen. But we must look steadfastly into heaven. Amen. And because Jesus resides in heaven. Praise God. That's where he's at. He ascended into heaven, the Bible says. And he sits at the right hand of God. Or he sits at the right hand, or excuse me, he sits in the position of power and authority beside God. Amen. We're talking about the man, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. While he was here on the earth, and even to this point in time, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. God came down to this world and robed himself in the form of a man and came to this world to give us direction, to give us the wisdom that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Amen. And it is so simple that really very, very few people will miss it. Amen. Jesus said, I'm speaking in parables so that they seeing will not see, and hearing they will not hear. But he said, I speak in parables because you have ears to hear, and you have eyes to see. And he's pointing to Peter and James and John and some of the disciples who were ignorant and unlearned men. And he said, you can understand it because you have the heart of a child. Amen. It's not complicated. Amen. We're not using big words here tonight. All we're saying is we need to get a hold of God and we need to live for God. It's really that simple. Do what's right and shun that which is wrong to the very best of our ability. Praise God. And Paul understood this in his writing. Acts chapter 22 and verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, he's giving us a testimony from his own mouth, so to speak. As I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Amen. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, and they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Rise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And what I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Amen. It's obvious that Paul was the only one. It was Saul at this time. He was the only one that looked steadfastly up into the light. Amen. The others covered their faces and dropped their heads. Because of the brightness of the light. But there was something about this man, Paul. Amen. And I talked about him the other day, but there was something about him. His attitude and his aggressiveness caused him to look straight into that light. Amen. What's this light doing shining around me? I want what God has for me. And he looked up. And he looked into that light until his eyes were blinded. Amen. He looked up into that light until he couldn't see physically. But that's exactly where God wanted him to be. He didn't want him looking around in physical terms. Amen. He wanted him looking around in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. And when he looked steadfastly, and he looked long enough until all of a sudden it became clear to him, he saw Jesus. Amen. No theologian is going to change his mind now. Amen. Not even all the teaching of his past could change his mind now. He had met Jesus, he knew, and God gave him revelation of who Jesus was from the Old Testament scriptures. Because that's all he knew. All of a sudden it came to him, Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he shall be called the Everlasting Father. He shall be called the Mighty God." All of a sudden the revelation of the oneness of God came to him, not because he was going to classes to learn it, not because he had the wisdom of men to learn it, amen, but because He had a heart for God and a zeal for God, and God was willing to use him. Praise the Lord. God's willing to use you and I tonight. But we've got to be willing to look steadfastly into heaven until we see Jesus. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we need to look steadfastly upward. Praise God. Because when we do, amen, we're going to see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. I don't plan on ever losing my thrill of the oneness of God. I don't plan on losing my thrill of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It'll change a person's life. Amen. It really will. It'll take the past away and give you a bright future. Amen. It's not going to come through weeks and weeks of Bible study, and I believe in Bible study, but it is simply just the seed. What I'm looking for is the harvest. Amen. What I'm looking for is to see that plant come up out of the ground and to see a person's life begin to be illuminated by the Word of God and to see the simplicity. Amen. You don't have to be educated to live for God. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of things in this world. You just have to have a goal and a desire to look steadfastly into heaven until I see the Lord. And he's here tonight. Praise God. It wasn't a religious leader. He didn't have Gamaliel, his school teacher, standing up in the heavens and say, "This is Gamaliel. We got it wrong." He didn't say that. But he looked up and he saw Jesus. Folks, all we need is Jesus today. Amen. Amen. And Stephen here, the scripture that we read tonight, was in a very, very stressful situation in his life. And he was beginning to be railed on by those learned people. And we've got to understand that those that are learned oftentimes, you've got to understand that they have a foundation that is based upon their supposed truth. And when anybody comes along and says anything against their belief, if you're in school, college, or regular school, you'll find this. You possibly find this to come to pass in some of your classes, that there are people that have ideas about how society should be run, people that have never run society themselves. They've never seen it worked out or fleshed out in reality. Amen. And you've got to be aware of this. You've got to understand. And if you speak out or if you say anything that is contrary to them, they will get very upset. And we have seen in recent weeks that they will actually even get violent sometimes. And you say, "Well, all I'm doing is saying some words. All I'm doing is giving a different point of view." Well, what it means is they have a very shaky foundation. It's a lot like pride. Amen. It's like what I would call that puffer fish. Amen. And it's just a little bitty fish. But if some big fish comes along, it has the ability to like a balloon, just puff itself out. It's called a puffer fish. And it's not as big as what it is. Or it's like a big balloon. And you just take, all it takes is a little pinprick. And that balloon pops and it's gone. It's just a few pieces laying on the floor. It really wasn't as big as what it looked like. Amen. It wasn't as solid or secure as what it looked like. Well, praise the Lord. That's what pride is. Amen. That's what a false foundation is. Amen. But we can stand tonight, and we can take the criticisms of the world. Amen. We can take the criticisms that says this, that, or the other. Amen. Because we know we have the truth of the Word of God. And when you are on that solid foundation of truth, you don't have to get upset when people disagree with you. Amen. Because you can't do anything against the truth, only for the truth. And here they were. They were all upset because he's preaching about Jesus Christ. And then he turns to their forefathers. And he says, which of the prophets did your forefathers not kill? And all of a sudden they realized he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth here. And they got so angry with him that they gnashed on him with their teeth. They all came around him and began to bite on him. Fun stuff. Amen. And what did he do? Oh, I'll tell you what. The Bible says, and I read it tonight, he looked steadfastly into heaven. Amen. Praise God. And while they're biting on him, I cannot imagine what it would be like. They said that they stoned him to death. They threw stones. I'm talking stones like this that would crush your skull, that would deform your face and your body. I saw a picture of in Afghanistan, a Taliban person that had done something wrong, and they stoned him to death. And it was really a horrifying picture. But it was all of these stones that were pressed down into the ground, and all you could see was a little bit of a face inside all of those stones as they stoned that man to death. When you cross people or institutions, amen, that are on a shaky foundation, they can get pretty upset. And these folks got pretty upset with Stephen, and they began to stone him. They began to bite on him, and I can almost see as they're biting on him, and bruises begin to form on his body, and welts begin to rise up off of his skin. He looks up in steadfastly into heaven and says, I see the throne of God. And I see Jesus sitting on the right, or standing on the right hand of God. I can imagine that when he looked steadfastly up into heaven, he didn't have a sad look on his face. There wasn't any pain that was showing in his face, probably because the Lord was with him here. And I can only imagine that there was a glimmer in his eyes. That's where I'm getting ready to go right now. I'm getting ready to leave this world and go to that place that I'm looking at right now. Praise God. I'll tell you, folks, we got some things we're facing here today. We've got a crazy person in North Korea that is saying that he wants to destroy our country with a nuclear missile, and he may have the capacity to do that. We are looking at situations, and we can focus on these things. And I personally have been focusing on this, and I've been reading about it, and it can be disturbing. But I must always come back to the very simple principle, amen, that if all I do is look to that and this and the other in our world, I'm going to get sidetracked. I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. And I feel like that's the message for our church tonight, that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord steadfastly, intently. Amen. with extremity. Praise God. When we come into the house of God, let's leave our troubles at the door. They'll be there when church will be over with. Praise God. Amen. But while we're here, let's look steadfastly into heaven. And this young man, Stephen, yes, he was a young man. He looked up, he saw Jesus, and that really got him mad. They dragged him out, and they stoned him to death. And Saul was consenting to his death and all of that. Amen. But he made it. He was the very first martyr of the church. And the Bible says that when right before he fell asleep, he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He went to his death forgiving those that were stoning him and biting on him and all of that. How can a person do that? I don't know about you, but when folks do me wrong, it upsets me. And it takes me time to pray through over it. It does to you too. Don't look at me like that. But here he is in the passion of death, and he had the ability to just say, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. I forgive them." And then he fell asleep and died. Amen. The only thing that I can think of tonight that would give someone that ability would be to be close to God and see God. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. I just want to say to New Life, amen. It's the will of God for us to steadfastly look to heaven. And when we look to heaven, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see Jesus. But you know what else we're going to see? We're going to see the lost that's around us. We're going to see the world that needs help. A world that is in trouble. Amen. And here we sit with the answer. Amen. He's going to show us the revival that he has for us personally in our life. Amen. And honestly, if all of us can just have personal revival in our life, then we will have collective revival in the church. He speaks of this one. Amen. When he looked into heaven, he only saw one. And I wanted to finish with this scripture here, Hebrews 2 and verse 5. He says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But in one certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." He's speaking of Jesus here. "Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." There's a very powerful thought right there when you're talking about walking with God. We see in the scriptures Jesus has all power and authority. We see in the scriptures that he took the stripes on his back for our healing. But then we get into situations, trials and tribulations, and all of a sudden we can't see Jesus. All of a sudden we don't see the power of God. All of a sudden we don't see all of these things put under our feet. And if all we're looking for is the answer to our prayers, we're going to be disappointed. Because God does not answer everything that we ask for. Because he is wise and we're not wise. But he says, now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. There's a good one God scripture right there. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Amen. He was made a little lower than the angels. God never elevated the angels above him. Amen. God sits on the throne tonight. There's one, though, that condescended and came down so that he could look us in the eye, he could pat us on the back, he could put his arm around our shoulder, and that would be Jesus. And he understands what you're going through tonight. He understands the trials and tribulations of life. Amen. And he is trying to tell us, and he wants to tell us, I believe that he wants to tell us, don't just live for me for answered prayers and to get what you want from God, but live for me because you've seen me. And when you see me, you're so impressed with me that you'll live for me all the days of your life. That's what living for God's really all about, isn't it? Amen. I'm not living for God just for an answered prayer. There have been times in my life that things just all, everything went wrong. And I had to go to God. Amen. In the beginning of my walk with God, nobody told me this. I just learned it myself. And I felt like God was a million miles away. And it went on for about 2 years. I couldn't even feel God. Folks would shout and worship the Lord, and I couldn't feel anything. I would go to God in prayer, and I couldn't feel anything. And finally, I got to a point where I told the Lord, I went to the Lord in prayer, and I'm hard-headed. I guess that's why it took me so long. I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if I never feel your presence again the rest of my life, if you never heal me, if you never bless me or do anything for me the rest of my life, I want you to know I love you and I'm going to serve you. And when I said that, this is my personal experience, when I looked steadfastly to him and gave everything to him, all of a sudden the power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed me. Amen. I began to weep. I began to speak in tongues. I'm telling you tonight, friend, we've got to live for God because of who he is. And when I look steadfastly into heaven and I see his face and I see his glory and there's a revelation of his person that comes to me, not of what he wants to give me. I'm not living for God because I want a candy stick or I want this or I want that. He's not a big Santa Claus in heaven. He's God Almighty. He's full of glory. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of all good things. Amen. I'm more impressed with him than I am anything else in all of this whole world. I'm more impressed with him. He's the best. He's the greatest. He's the highest. I just get overwhelmed sometimes when I begin to think that what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would you even think of me? Just the other day, I was driving down the road. I don't even remember where I was. And I said, Lord, I don't know why you chose to come to me. I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy. But I'm so excited. And I'm so thankful that you've come into my life. Do you feel that way about the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. I feel that way about the Lord. Amen. I'm not worshiping because it's a program. I'm not giving so that God will give back to me. Praise the Lord. I'm just doing what I'm doing because I truly love him. And I want to know him more. That's what Paul said, that I might know him, that I might know him. I want to get to know him. And the only way I can do that is to steadfastly look into heaven, keeping my eyes on the glory land, keeping my eyes on the Word of God, keeping my heart in prayer. Praise God. Seeking after the face of God. Can we just lift our hands tonight and let's just talk to the Lord? I know it's Wednesday night.